Max Egan. Max Egan, our friend. Hey, good morning, Max. How are you, mate? From thecrowhouse.com.
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, hey, mate. Good. We've got here Shardcore, Jaime and myself there, Max. So what's been going on, Max? We haven't spoken to you for the last 2 weeks. A lot has happened over the weekend over the Oslo shooting of 89 person by one gunman. And I don't know, all this thing that's flooding the net at the moment, these Freemasonry, it's
Knights Templar,
false flag attack, it's still very fresh. But they've caught the guy. He's in custody at this moment.
Yeah, well, it's all very interesting. I mean, we've been expecting some sort of attack from a normal white-skinned Westerner, and here we have one. They've been predicting this for a while. They've been preparing the public for it for a while. It's too early to really know at the moment, but everything is looking that this was a setup. I mean, 93 people, I think, dead so far, 92 or 93. Mm-hmm. Reports are varying, but that will be the worst shooting in history.
That's a lot of people for one person to kill. You'd try to overrun them or something. I don't know.
Well, there's been reports of a second gunman. I mean, a lot of eyewitnesses have been saying there was a second gunman. None of it really makes sense. And like you say, it ties to Freemasonry, Christian fundamentalism, all this sort of stuff. So we're not just vilifying Muslims now, folks. Now we can move to other people. Now that we've taken all the rights of the Muslims away, now we can apply it to others. See, that's what they do. That's why it's so important to protect the rights of everybody. Because if you allow them to take the rights of the Muslims away, then you allow your own rights to be taken away. So that's the way it works.
So who benefits?
Well, it would be that the whole global government would benefit from this. That's the thing. See, we've been waiting for this type of an attack. I mean, you could look at Norway and say, well, what's Norway done that would cause the elite to want to do this? And, you know, Norway was going to pull out of Libya, I think, on August 2nd or something. There's a few things, but it's not really a matter of what Norway has done. It's just a matter that we knew they wanted to pull this off somewhere. So, I mean, Norway's as good a place as any to do it. I mean, it's like with some of the things they do here with the smart cards and with the fracking and all this sort of stuff. They just try it in whichever country it works and wherever they can get it to do, well, that's what they do. And it applies globally anyway. I mean, we've already got a global government in place. You know, people just haven't realised it yet.
Mm. Now, the way I see this, we've had Bali, there's been 9/11, there was attacked in India.
How about in Port Arthur?
In Port Arthur, and now in Norway. So there's a lot of false flag operations in at the moment, and it seems that they're trying to get every country in on the action.
Well, you know, they needed one in Europe. I mean, they haven't had any type of a mass shooting like this anywhere in Europe, so they kind of needed one. It makes perfect sense that it will be done over there. I mean, but like I said, you know, we've already got a global government here. It's, you know, it's just hidden behind the scenes. It operates covertly, and it's just sort of coming out in the open now.
What is the global government? Could you explain that a little bit better?
When people think of the New World Order and they think of a global government, most people think it's going to be a group of people sitting around a table in Geneva or something, but it isn't. What it is a quiet merging of all governments and all police forces, and that's what we're seeing around the world. You know, we've seen, like, you know, Australian police and Indonesian police training together. You know, all these police are now swapping ideas and methods all the way around the world, and it's all this big unification. It's just this global plutocracy that's sort of coming out of it all.
And when they, for example, I mean, I truly believe that Russia, China, America, France, England, Australia, they're all in it together. I don't believe that there's any real polarity there. That's just false dichotomies. But when they do, like, wars or whatever against populations, what are they achieving?
Well, usually they're putting in central banks. I mean, most of the wars we've seen around the place recently, like in Libya and all this, it's all about central banks. Mm. That's what they're doing. Like, the axis of evil that George Bush announced was every country that doesn't have a central bank. The banking cartels, when they get in there and they put a central bank in, then that gives them the ability to control the government and control the people by control of the monetary system. That's basically how it all works.
And what do you think is, like, at the moment there's all these defaults that are lining up in synchronicity from Ireland to, you know, Portugal, Italy now, Greece, and even America, because they're talking about raising, they have to roll over the whole American debt, because that's what the debt ceiling really is. They just roll over all the money that's being produced to the next loan.
Well, what they do is they get the countries into a state where they can't pay the debt. They'll have to default, and then basically the IMF owns the country, and then they'll crash the currency. Once they've done it as much as they can around the world, they'll just crash the currency. We'll wake up one day and there'll be a bank holiday here, and people will go to the bank to get their money out, and they won't be able to. The bank will be closed for a day or two. And then when they go back there, the bank will say, oh, sorry, guys, you should have read the fine print. You're actually a shareholder in the bank here, and we had to use your money to pay off our debt, so now we're going to give you 10 cents in the dollar. And this will collapse the global economy, then they can introduce their one global currency. That's the what they're up to with that whole thing, you know.
And what do you think of, say, Elliman?
Elliman, oh, look, I think it's a big scam. I don't think that it's anything to worry about. I think it's just keeping people distracted from what's going on around them, to be honest. I mean, really, and when you look at it, Elliman, look at the name, you know, Elliman, 11 and 9. And, yeah. And it's due in September on the 10th anniversary of 9/11. I mean, I think they're just laughing at people with that one, to be honest.
So it's like, I can't believe they've fallen for this. So, in just playing the devil's advocate here, could it be that 9/11 is because this thing's coming by and that they're celebrating this event? Could it be building up towards this climax?
Well, look, it could, but I just don't think it's going to do anything. I really don't. I don't think it's anything to worry about.
Because it's going to pass between us and, say, the sun. The sun has 8 magnetic poles, which kind of governs the poles of the Earth, and if that gets disturbed, then, you know, the Earth is a bit like a magnet, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, the sun's doing some really weird things anyway, but, you know, bear in mind, we had a comet come through here, was it 2005, that was larger than Jupiter, and people didn't even notice that one. It came past, it passed between Mercury and the sun, and it was the size bigger than Jupiter, and it didn't affect anything. Nobody even knew that it was there. They didn't tell us about it because they thought it was going to be a doomsday event. And this thing was huge. This is the biggest body that's ever been seen in our solar system. And it didn't do anything. By all rights, it should have tilted the Earth's axis. It should have caused all sorts of destruction because this thing was so huge, but it didn't do anything. So, I mean, what's Elliman going to do? And just the name, you know, Elliman, 9/11, it just reeks of a hoax to me. You know, it's just preparing people for something that isn't going to happen. It's going to be a big non-event, and meanwhile, everyone's going to be waiting for this, and we can just continue removing all of their rights around them, you know?
Yeah, they're definitely removing rights. And what do you think of their agenda, like the depopulation-type agenda and vaccinations and the guide stones and all of that?
Look, that's been going on for a long time, and it will continue to go on for a long time. The whole medical industry, if you really look at it, it's about depopulation. It's about enslaving people to drugs and medicine and all of this false stuff that we don't need. I mean, the whole World Health Organization goes and sells sickness to people. I mean, look at what's happened since we started having a World Health Organization looking after our health. You know, back 100 years ago, we had one in 100 people got cancer, you know? And now it's 1 in 2.7 people get cancer.
The World Health Organization a couple of months ago admitted that cell phones give you cancer in the brain.
Yeah.
They've documentarily said that. A little small piece.
Oh, absolutely. They also break your DNA. They actually shatter your DNA. They rip your DNA strands in your body. So, you know, they've been shown to sever DNA in rats' brains, so they sever DNA in human brains as well. They're very, very bad for you. I don't own a mobile phone. But everything the World Health Organization's done is to create sickness, to create more dependence upon big pharma. You know, if we can manufacture a sick population, it's good for business. And that's why they do it. You can not only is it good for business, but you get to put drugs into these people and control their minds and mold them from a very early age. We've been drugging our children for the last 20 years. As soon as people start showing a little bit of nous or being a little bit independent. Oh, no, ADD, quick, put him on Ritalin or something, you know. So
on your site, you've got Brzezinski, Cancer is a Serious Business.
Well, it's a fantastic film. That's a man who's cured so many cancers, and he's been doing it for a long time, and they've been trying to put him out of business, and he recently won a court case over it and everything. So it's a fantastic film. I recommend everybody watch it.
Awesome, Max. Now, also going through what we call it, we've got a problem here in Australia with the GM food wheat.
Yeah, well, that's lovely, isn't it? They're bringing in genetically modified wheat in Australia, and they're not telling anybody about it. And bear in mind, this has been rejected by the rest of the globe. It's been rejected by England. It's been rejected by Canada, by Europe, by America. They all say that it is not safe for human consumption. But, of course, our Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, barefaced liar that she is, knows better and has willingly taken this on so they can use the Australian people as the guinea pigs for this this GM wheat.
It's crazy what's going on. That's stupid. I mean,
and it's good to see Greenpeace of making a bit of an action. You know, I mean, sure, they're all for the climate change tax and everything else, but at least they're going for the GM food. I mean, they were caught spraying all over at the, what's that organisation, that big corporation, that scientific corporation that sort of dubs us, the CSIRO, isn't it?
Yeah, CSIRO, yeah. Well, like, this has been banned everywhere, this GM weed, and the Australian people absolutely need to stand up about this and say, no, we're not going to allow it. See, all these governments are operating in breach of trust. I keep coming back to this. I mean, just the fact that they would do this without the knowledge of the Australian people indicates a clear breach of the trust that's given to this government by the people. And we need to look at it from that perspective, and we need to stand up and address it. But if people don't stand up, if they just roll over on command, then it's going to go through. That's just the way it is.
Our daily bread.
Yeah. So when we stand up, do you think that we should form groups, or are there groups? I mean, we talked about fracking. We had Lock the Gate, the lady.
Jacinta, yeah. We had Lock the Gate, Jacinta. Max, you do a lot of the protests with the fracking as well. And actually, it's gone quite... people are starting to get aware of it more. It's been coming on mainstream news. My girlfriend watched it on ABC News, just a bit of fracking, and just the farmers standing up for it. So it's good that, I guess, people standing up and making it, especially the farmers, it's hitting their friggin' food. It's what's hitting our food bowl.
Yeah. Insanity. So, I mean, the thing is, what I keep on seeing is that there's all these disparate groups. We've got Lock the Gate, we've got... You know, we've got this group, we've got the anti-fluoride movement. You know, at the moment there's an update on the Rouse Water appeal with one of the ladies. I've got sent an email with all the reports. I mean, do you think we should form a united group where we can... It's just insanity, this fracking.
Well, it is. I mean, all of the groups that we've got, I mean, it's good to have a group that has a focal point, like, you know, an anti-fracking group or an anti-fluoride group. But they all need to realise that they're all fighting the one problem. You know, the problem is the system. The problem is the corruption that exists within government that allows all of these symptoms to manifest. So sure, we need to address each symptom as it is, but we also need to address the root cause of the problem. That's the government that allows it. That's what we need to focus on, I believe, because they're all symptoms of the one problem. And, you know, we can't attempt to change this by operating within the parameters that are provided for us by government, because the government is obviously so corrupt that it's allowed this situation to come about in the first place. So there's no good operating within those guidelines. We need to realise that the government are the servants of the people. And what we're really facing here, the big problem that we're facing, is that the people and the governments have misplaced their position in society. They've forgotten where they both stand. The governments are actually the elected employees of the people, and we need to start exercising our power and treat them in that way.
Yeah, I was looking at Sue Maines. She's currently appealing in the Lands and Environment Court of New South Wales, and the case is Allschlacht versus Rouse Water. And, I mean, she needs lots of support because they're battling them, you know, on all fronts. You hear about all these other cases. There was the Perth anti-fluoride group, and they've got a great case. You read the case, it's just absolutely bulletproof, and yet when it goes up to the judiciary strikes it down. I mean, at what point do people unite and go, people power, enough is enough?
Well, exactly. At what point? What's it going to take? I mean, eventually that's what's going to happen. That's what will be needed to happen. Now, we just need to rout out these criminals in government. We need to have an honest government that actually cares about the people. Doesn't matter what legislation they enact. If the legislation they enact does not serve the people, then what's the point of it? I mean, you know, we the people create these governments to serve us, and they're not doing so. So it's all breach of trust. It really is, and that's the way we have to look at it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like to think of the 100 monkey effect.
Well, it will eventually. That's why one of the most important things you can do is to talk to people about it. You've really got to raise public awareness, because we need a mass groundswell of people to stand up and address this issue. I mean, they will eventually, but Australians are incredibly apathetic. You know, God love them, but they are. And it's going to take until it actually affects people personally. You know, when people have to move out of their own houses, then they'll start sympathising with the farmers.
Yeah, you talk about money and people all of a sudden interested. You talk about interest rates or you talk about, you know, the stock market, everyone, their ears crop up, you know. Mm. What was it? I chose to live in a country, not in an economy.
Well, exactly. You know, we're living in a corporate economy at the moment. That's what we're doing. We're not living in a country at all. Mm-hmm. And we need to look at that. We need to change our perspective. We need to start supporting each other. I think the biggest thing we can do is to build community around us and support our members of our community. And when we see these things, we've got to support them. We've got to stand up. People like Sue Maines, you've got to stand up and support these people because they're doing it for you. They're doing it for everybody. And unfortunately, it is going to get a lot worse because people aren't standing up. But, I mean, eventually they will. They won't have a choice. But hopefully when they do stand up, they'll still be able to be effective because, you know, we're being repressed more and more all the time. And it's very difficult here in Australia because we've lost all our weapons. We've lost any real means of standing up. You know, we'd be marching down the street with pitchforks like in the old days, you know. Yeah, but I mean, I don't think violence is the way to go anyway. I don't think we need any violence at all. We simply need a mass awareness to actually just stand up and say, no, we're not going to do it. There's a great film on YouTube actually called The Tiny Dot. And I recommend getting it. It's about a 5 or 10 minute clip called The Tiny Dot. And it shows how we've got this millions and millions of people. And there's this tiny little dot, this tiny little group of just a few hundred people who are telling everybody else what to do. And everyone goes, oh, gee, okay, we better do it, you know. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. Like, everything that you've said over the last 10 minutes, I'm so down with that because I think that it requires a mass groundswell.
Well, it does. Absolutely, it does. That's why I do what I do. That's why I assume you guys do what you do because that's what it's going to take. It really is, you know, public awareness. That's our greatest weapon, our greatest tool.
Awesome, Max. Now, how's that film going, Transformation? I've just seen your video, your little teaser.
It's coming along well. I've had a visitor come to stay with me for a few days here, and that was kind of interesting. But I had sort of someone here for 8 days of the month, and that kind of threw me a little bit. But I didn't get as much done as I wanted to this month. But I'm getting a fair bit done. I've been working on it the last few days, so it's coming along slowly but surely.
Won't
be out by August or September the way I hoped, but it'll hopefully be out by the end of the year.
That's all right.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you one more question. I've noticed this myself and I've noticed in others. I took a break for a little while. At some point, you know, having too much truth can be kind of overwhelming and people do get burnt out in the truth movement. What advice can you give them? Because you've been involved for quite a long time at the forefront, producing movies and helping other people to wake up and to get on board with the message. What can you give people to prevent getting burnout from the truth movement?
Well, people tend to get very frustrated with the truth movement, which is what tends to burn them out. I mean, truth goes through a few stages. You know, first you're just amazed that you didn't see it all, and then you get quite excited about it and you start telling people about it. Then you usually go into fear because people aren't waking up, and you really think that this is so important that people are going to see this straight away, and then they don't. And it becomes frustrating, and so you get more and more intense, and you get more and more fanatical about it, and you keep trying and trying and trying, and the more you try, the less people want to know about you because you're becoming fanatic, you know, and so you've really got to step back and just say, well, look, you know, this is, you know, you're on a path of knowledge more than anything, a path of knowledge and self-empowerment, and people need to know that you're better because you have this information. I mean, I believe my life is a lot better because I know what's going on around the world. And you've got to approach it in that way. You've got to lead by example. Don't try going out and screaming fear, 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 walking down the street with a megaphone and a sign saying the world is going to end in 2012, you know. It's just not the way to do it. Keep living your life. Keep doing what you do. I mean, but just have a different perspective of it. Don't be in fear of it. I mean, I'm not in fear of anything. I see it all as opportunity. I really do. I think it's a wonderful opportunity for the human race. And that's the way I approach it. And I go out and I share with people as much as I can. I always work to help and empower the people that I'm around. And So they work to help and empower me back. And it becomes this sort of a more of a social thing for me. So that's just the way I approach it. But I think people tend to move into fear with it. And there's nothing to fear, folks. When you understand what reality is, then there's really nothing to fear.
And have fun with it.
Well, yeah, have fun with it. I mean, it can be quite fun. You can predict what's going to happen next, and it's kind of interesting because it usually does.
Jesus. All right, thanks, Max Egan. Max Egan, crowhouse.com. Thanks for coming up. We'll get in touch with you again.
My pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Max.
Thanks, Max. See you, mate.